So this is our opening day of the retreat, and it's good to just begin turning attention to the formal practice of meditation. We've inevitably, ends up at our practice, our formal practice, sort of waxes and wanes. And we're just having this time in the winter to really put our attention on the formal practice it's really essential, important, necessary for our spiritual well-being and the well-being of the community, to just putting our efforts into practice. It was last night chatting with Lee on the way up, or talking about comparisons between music and practice and the bringing up a quote of Arthur Rubinstein, who's said that in terms of practice in his musicians, that if somebody didn't practice for a day, then he would notice it. And if they didn't practice for 2 days, then the musicians noticed it. And if didn't practice for 3 days, then everybody noticed it. I think it's very similar in terms of meditation and that cultivation of the the skills of looking after our mind and looking after the subtleties of what the way our moods and our impressions and our feelings and our thoughts, where they go to and what they result in. So in order to establish that basis of awareness and attention so that we can start tuning into more, not necessarily even more subtles, just to recognize more clearly the gross aspects of what our minds tend to do to us is really essential. So that cultivation of mindfulness and using a particular meditation technique starts to give us a handle on how we do sustain attention, so that using mindfulness of breathing, of course, is my shtick. That's where I tend to focus my own practice and speak from that experience and use that as a framework for talking about practice. It can be extrapolated to different methods, techniques, but that is certainly my own foundation that I feel confident in. So that the using of the mindfulness of breathing. As I was mentioning on Saturday night, just really paying attention to posture to begin with, that the getting a good feel for the body as it's sitting, and to adjust your posture, adjust your cushions that you can be using that help to support your back, sitting a bit forward so that you're, in the sense that if you're sitting on a cushion, sitting a bit forward on the cushion so that your weight is actually on your, what do they call them, sit bones, what sits bones, or the actual, not sitting on your tailbone. I mean, there's a difference. And because sometimes if you sit back a bit, then the weight is more sort of on the tailbone, as opposed to sitting a bit forward, and then the weight is on the bone, sort of the hips where they come in on there, and that gives it a bit better balance and poise for the back. If you sit back a bit too much, then the bottom of your spine sort of collapses. And what that does is then rolls your shoulders forward and your back starts to, the middle of your back starts to hurt, to ache. So that by sitting a little bit forward and your pelvis is tilted slightly forward, then you're able to sort of rise up out of the pelvis, the sort of the pelvic cradle, and your spine rises up from that, and then there's a very nice balance where your spine is nice and straight, although it's not straight, it just feels straight. Your spine's never going to be straight because it's just what you're doing is following the supporting the natural curvature of the spine, where it it has certain curves, and then you get a nice balance in the spine where you're sitting up straight, not holding yourself with your back muscles. I mean, that's something that sometimes people do, is try to hold themselves up with their back muscles or their shoulder, bring themselves up into a straight posture by sort of using their back muscles or their shoulder muscles, and that gets very tiring. Again, it's sort of getting a balance in posture, and then the actual muscles that are used are much more the abdominal muscles that support the posture, and then keeping the head nice and straight. I mean, in terms of just tilted a little bit forward. Again, that follows the natural curvature of the spine. It gives a nice balance. And then you can let the breath then start to be very natural or smooth, without straining or pushing or controlling the breath, and just to allow the breath to enter the body and leave the body as it in a very relaxed and natural way. Because that's what, in terms of mindfulness of breathing, it's not an exercise in breath control. It's an exercise in mindfulness and attentiveness to what the breath is doing. So whether it's a short in-breath, to know that that's a short in-breath. Whether it's a short out-breath, to know that it's a short out-breath. If it's a long in-breath, to know that it's a long in-breath. If it's a long out-breath, to know that it's a long out-breath. Just to be attentive to that much, to recognize. And use that as the basis of attention. And whether it's short or long doesn't really, in the end, doesn't really matter at all. But it's the awareness and attentiveness to the breath, which is the most important thing. And generally, what will happen, you know, as one relaxes, as the mind settles, as the body becomes tranquil, then the general tendency is that there will be longer breaths. It's just sort of a natural rhythm. The body is relaxed, it's settled. The breath comes in and goes out in a very, usually, you know, it's longer and again relaxed. There's no rushing. There's no need to rush. But the main thing is this, that sense of knowing clearly, which is the verb that is used in the Buddhist discourse, pachahanati, for the knowing the short breath, the long breath, whether it's coming in, going out, to know clearly, to recognize clearly what the breath is doing. In order to recognize clearly, it's very helpful to really be attentive to the beginning of the breath, to really take a point of, as the breath first comes in, really at the tip of the nose, use that as an entry point, and to know clearly the sensation of the breath. Now, is it cool? Is it warm? Does it feel restricted? Is it flowing freely? Does it itch? Is it, you know, whatever the sensation is, to really be attentive to that sensation, and really start to hone attention on the different, say, subtleties of where you're experiencing the breath. And there's the sensation at the tip of the nose as one's bringing the breath in, breathing in, as it comes into the nasal cavity, as it comes up to the sort of the passing back into the throat, going down into the body. I mean, there's sensation all the way along there. And to start to pay attention to that, using, again, we've got 3 months of opportunity for exploring the breath. So don't be afraid of looking at subtleties and the nuances of how one experiences the breath. Oftentimes it happens that people tend to be trying to get the nimitta of the breath, and forget to really attend to the breath, attend to the breathing, attend to the sensation. So that sense of, again, being more interested in exploring the breath than trying to gain something from the breath, trying to get something out of the meditation. That's always there's this frantic quality that comes into the mind when we're trying to make the meditation be a particular way, trying to get the results, trying to fulfill the ideal of what we think we should be doing. So that sense of trying to get the nimitta, because that's what we've heard we should be doing. There should be some sort of nimitta arising. We don't even necessarily know what a nimitta means, but but I'm going to get it anyway. So you know, attend to the, you know, this is very much a part of our mind, of our meditation, is start recognizing the underlying assumptions that come with just trying to perform a simple act like being attentive to the breath, attentive to breathing in and breathing out. It's such a simple, ubiquitous sort of act that we have to be doing all the time. It's so easy to start overlaying it with, you know, with our desires, our projections, our assumptions, our views and opinions, without even questioning that. We just sort of slip right into that. So that a part of the taking interest in the breath is also starting to recognize a bit more clearly, well, what is it that hampers that clear knowledge of the in-breath and the out-breath? Start to look, to investigate that. Because then we start to getting insights into those particular tendencies that we have. Without getting, bogged down in that either, and just sort of taking note, oh, that's interesting. But the main, focus, of course, is just coming back to the breath, paying attention to the sensation of the breath as it comes into the body, and then the out breath as it comes out of the leaves the body. So then, attending to it, particularly when we first start a sitting, it's helpful to really establish the mindfulness of the breath, sort of the whole rhythm of the breath, the whole sensation of the breath, as the breath comes in, to feel it coming into from the tip of the nose into the back of the throat, down to the chest, down to the abdomen as the abdomen rises, and then as the abdomen falls, to be attentive to the sensation of the whole. So getting really connecting the breath with the body, connecting the body and the breath together, and that gives the sort of anchor for the breath and for the meditation. As if one feels more comfortable, bring the attention down into the abdomen at the end, after you've established that sort of initial connection with the body and the breath. If one feels more comfortable to bring attention to the abdomen and use the abdomen as a main focal point, that's one way of let's say one point that is commonly used. It's probably the two main points are sort of the tip of the nose and the and the abdomen. The abdomen has advantages and disadvantages. As in everything, everything has an advantage and a disadvantage. Say the abdomen has the advantage of being, there's movement there, physical movement, and so that it can sometimes be a lot more clear, not quite as subtle a sensation. So it's a bit more clear, and has the because the physical movement of the abdomen, rising and falling, the movement in and out, there's a lot more to pay attention to, and therefore gives you, I say, a clear object to be attending to. That's very helpful, because the mind it wanders. It needs to be engaged, and this is really important in terms of meditation, that one needs to be engaging attention, engaging the mind, in order to be able to sustain attention. If you're not engaging awareness, engaging attention, taking an interest, assessing what are the results of that attention, then the mind is going to start going dull very quickly. It's just the if one so often what happens in meditation, people tend to sit down, place attention on the breath, and then it's sort of like waiting for the results to come, waiting for the mind to become peaceful. And what usually happens is then the mind goes dull and gets sleepy and drowsy, or one starts daydreaming and proliferating. So that there's this necessity to engage attention. The mind needs work to do, and this is what they say, the gammatthana, the basis of action, the basis of work. The work of the mind is its refining it. The work of the meditator is that clarifying of awareness, and one needs to be engaged in that. Engaging attention, and there's different ways that one needs to experiment with, and so that just also the actual object, place where you pay attention, is already that is an aspect of what we what you need to be considering. Is the the abdomen, the sensation of the breath, and the sensation of the abdomen rising and falling. There's movement there. There's a physical sensation, engaging attention, and that's very helpful. I found it very helpful for a long time, because it was far enough away from my thinking and proliferating restless mind that it was very helpful for me to be able to settle. If I tried to pay attention at the tip of the nose, and I just usually get caught up in my own thinking and proliferating, and that wasn't useful for me. So that the actual coming down into the center of the body, anchoring the breath sort of in the, and not on in an extremity, but really coming down into the almost the core of one's being. I found that very grounding. In Chinese, sort of conception of the body, then the sort of the abdomen is the focal center point for energy. That's your when people do qigong or kung fu or tai chi, that's where you move from, is from the abdomen. That's where your sort of center of energy, your center of balance is. So that's when you're using the mindfulness of breathing, coming to the abdomen, then there's a very strong centering and very energetic quality that is there. So that's an important aspect to be considering, and to use the breath at that point. Experiment and see if that is useful, and see its recognize what its benefits are. Using the tip of the nose as the point of attention. It has advantages and disadvantages. I mentioned the disadvantage that I experienced, but also as I've continued meditating over the years, and I'd say a lot of the restlessness has sort of settled internally for me, so that I end up finding the tip of the nose useful because of the subtlety of it. And it's also at one point. It's not sort of moving in the same way that there's physical movement with the abdomen, so that there's a point of attention to keep really honing that one-pointedness, so that there's an advantage to that as well. A lot of it is just really attending to, what do I need? What do I need in order to help the meditation go smoothly? And certainly the what we all need is mindfulness, really bringing those qualities of mindfulness and awareness to the attending to the breath. And we use the word mindfulness, that sense of being present for the breath, really receiving the breath, really being present, really receiving the breath with an open, clear quality within the mind. And that's it's really, that's a, to actually check the that sense of, what does it mean to be mindful? We talk about mindfulness of breathing, and so we leap into the breathing, and then we say, what about the mindfulness part? Are we actually being mindful? What is mindfulness? What's it mean to be mindful? How do I sustain mindfulness? So one has to question that. Because again, if you just sort of lock into the breath now's my meditation time, lock into the breath without really establishing mindfulness, and all you do is drift off, wander, proliferate, get dull, sort of defeats the purpose of it. So that effort in bringing up a quality of mindfulness. How do I be alert? How do I create awareness? I mean, one of the qualities is the basic quality of mindfulness is that you're actually awake. And if you're not even awake, you know, where's the mindfulness? You know, how does it? How does one sort of even get out to first base in the meditation if one doesn't even start with wakefulness, so that creating that wakefulness, alertness, and if that means opening the eyes, then that's fine. That's not a problem. It's better to sit with the eyes open and be awake than just sort of drifting and spending the time in dullness. referring back to the posture, getting the posture straightened up, putting attention on the energizing the body, using the body to energize the mind. This is where the mind and body are functioning together. Sitting up straight. How does one place the hands? Well, the head? Where is it feeling? How are the shoulders? To go through the body and establish a posture that is energetic, that is upright, putting forth effort, and it's really an important part of the meditation is creating that foundation for mindfulness to sustain itself, and so that effort is a necessary part of that, and that bringing attention to posture. straightening the posture without making it stiff and rigid, but that energizing and when I say energizing, it's, you know, you're not sort of there's a relaxing quality there as well. You know, the actual the energy of meditation is something that is very soothing and it's very relaxing, so that and that way it's able to be sustained when it is relaxing. If you relate to energy as something that is just sort of ramping up something, as if you're sort of, you know, just sort of on, you know, some sort of amphetamine high, that's rather different. There's this energy that has a meditative quality to it. That is where there's awareness, alertness, but there's also a nice balance and evenness. There's a sense of relaxation that's in there as well. So that again, that's where the physical posture is very helpful to use that as a kind of like almost as a weather vane to sort of get a sense. Okay, is there balance there? Is that alert? Is it bright? Is it am I present? Am I mindful? So that bringing that attention back to the posture, to the breathing, mindfulness. And how do you that question that should be sort of reverberating through the mind? In terms of I don't know, is this meditation, is this mindfulness of breathing, What am I doing? Because if the question isn't there, then you see, oftentimes it's just as, you know, the time passes and the bell rings and one does something else. And, so that sense of really questioning, you know, which is what the, you know, in terms of in Thailand, one of the say meditation techniques and ways of using meditation that are very, very common is that use of the mantra Buddho, and and it isn't just sort of, I mean, it's used in many different ways, and particularly in conjunction with the breath, Buddho on the in-breath, Bud on the out-breath, To. But also one of the things that's always emphasized is the meaning of what Buddho means, and Buddho meaning the one who knows. And then that questioning of, well, who is the one who knows? What am I knowing? What is the, you know, what is this quality of the one who knows? What is Buddho? So creating a question in the mind that is helping to bring up this alertness, because then without that questioning, without that querying, without the investigation, then mindfulness and meditation turns into something very flat. There needs to be this sort of questioning, investigation. What's the mindfulness for? What am I paying attention to? What am I looking at my nose for? What's its purpose? What use is it? And through that, then there's this, you know, that sense of, again, returning to the quality of mindfulness, awareness. What is the, how to bring it up, how to maintain it, and using the breath as that vehicle, as the breath comes in, sustaining attention through the beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, the end of the breath. As the breath goes out, to be very attentive to the sensation of as the breath goes, begins as it, the middle of the out-breath, the ending of the out-breath. And to be very attentive to that, to recognize it, to see it clearly. So that the using and cultivating this mindfulness of breathing, as we're beginning the retreat, and it's not just the doing sitting meditation, but also walking meditation, and after we break, then we'll go and do a period of walking meditation, the exact same instructions can be applied to the walking meditation as well. I mean, we're taking a very ordinary activity, turning into a meditation by the fact of creating awareness around what we're doing. So that taking a path of about 20 to 25, 30 paces, and bringing up our attention to the physical act of walking. Again, relaxing the body so that there's a nice posture, one's upright, and then walking a bit slower than normal is generally the way to do it, just by slowing things down a bit, it's helpful to create awareness and to be attentive to the say the sensation of the say of your foot as you raise your right foot, moving your right foot, and bringing attention down into the say the movement of the feet, and then setting your right foot down, lifting your left foot, moving your left foot, setting your left foot down. This is say in this case that sense of bringing attention into the extremity of the sensation of the feet is very helpful. One, because the sensation is strongest in walking, that's where your contact point is. So that bringing attention down into the feet is, you've got a clear sensation to attend to. Walking slowly, following the rhythm of the walking until you get to the end of the walking meditation path. Try to pick up a path that is fairly flat and even, so that you're not having to be dodging obstacles and tripping on things or it's distracting in that way. So just finding a nice level spot where you can, your walking meditation is is quite easy to walk back and forth. And then you can just let the walking concentrate on the physical sensation of walking, rather than having to be worrying about whether you're going to trip on something or whether it's uneven and it's making your body sort of sway back and forth or whatever. So just to be attentive to that simple physical act of walking. And if the mind starts proliferating or you start wandering off, sometimes it's helpful just to stop in the middle of the walking path until you clear the mind, settle the mind, come back to the physical sensation of walking, and then resume the walking again. Certainly at the end of the path, then stop before you turn around or after you've turned around, before you start walking back again, to physically stop and to check and see, okay, am I present? Am I here? Am I mindful? Am I doing the walking meditation? And then to if it's necessary, to reestablish attention, or when you're sure that the attention is established, then to resume the walking, and then to continue back and forth like that. In the walking meditation, you're using the walking in the same way that you're using the breath. It's a physical sensation that you can sustain a continuity of awareness on, and from that vantage point, then you can start to recognize more clearly, well, what are the habits of mind? What are the moods that come in? What are the tendencies that the mind throws up? What does it feel like to be peaceful? What does it feel like to be attentive? What does it feel like to be aware? What is awareness anyway? What is mindfulness? How do I sustain it? And so creating that interest and investigation as to, what is meditation? What am I doing in meditation?